This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله عبادا فطنا طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنا نظروا فيها فلما علموا أنها ليست لحي وطنا جعلوا.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. The topic of today is really quite a tough topic. First of all, I'd like to thank the community for having me. And also I'm glad that I'm back after a long time, about 4 years as the brother said. And because there is a short amount of time, I'm going to go right into the topic. But even before I do, there has to be a little small preface on an issue that is extremely important before we discuss anything related to the Dajjal. In fact, anything we related to the Day of Judgment, before discussing that, we have to discuss this particular preface through which we will be able to understand every paranormal event that may be taking place prior to the Day of Judgment. And that being the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, as found in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O who you believe, do not try to give your own understandings when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said something, Allah has decreed something, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said something, the Prophet has decreed something. At that moment, what you do is you simply obey and you simply listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. And you simply leave the affair as it is. At times there will be things you will hear about which you will just not be able to comprehend. And a lot of what you're going to hear today, and a lot of what you will hear whenever you listen to the signs of the Day of Judgment, you just will not be able to comprehend. You'll wonder and you'll think about the fact that this is paranormal. This is beyond what the normality of human life has been. But the fact is that these are events that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, and we've heard of them from Rasulullah, some in the Qur'an itself, others in authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we simply believe, because everything is capable when it comes to the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for what is to proceed, I want to start off with a hadith. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. It's a very long hadith. It's sort of like a preface to Ad-Dajjal. It tells you about where exactly Dajjal is today. This hadith is narrated by a person by the name of Tamim Ad-Dari. And throughout the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you won't find that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam narrates a hadith from any sahabi with the exception of one sahabi. That is Tamim Ad-Dari. So this is a special sahabi, and this is a special incident, and this hadith in Sahih Muslim, and this is a very, very special, you know, scenario that's being described, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually narrates a hadith from his own companion in this particular scenario. So who's that companion? Tamim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he has his companions get up and call the call to prayer. A prayer that is not necessarily ordained like the five daily prayers, but a prayer to gather people. So he has everybody call, or a caller call, As-salata jami'atan, or As-salatu jami'atan. Gather together for prayer, gather together for prayer. Congregational prayer. So they all come together for this congregational prayer. And the narrator of the hadith, Fatima bint Qais, she says that I was sitting in the row close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around and he was smiling. And he looked at people, and people were about to get up. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لِيَلْزَمْ كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ مُصَلَّىٰ. Let everybody sit exactly where they're seated. Don't move. So he said to them, أَتَدْرُونَ لِمَ جَمَعْتُكُمْ? Do you know why I've gathered you together? قَالُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Allah and His Messenger know best. So the Prophet said, قَالَ إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا جَمَعْتُكُمْ لِرَغْبَةٍ وَلَا لِرَغْبَةٍ وَلَكِنْ جَمَعْتُكُمْ لِأَنَّ تَمِيمًا الدَّارِ كَانَ رَجُلًا نَصْرَانِيًا. I didn't gather you together because I'm about to give you something. لَا لِرَغْبَةٍ, not because I have something that I can give you, and you're, you know, maybe a ghanima, maybe a war booty, something that I'm just about to distribute amongst people, or I'm afraid of an enemy coming in our direction. None of that. That would be normally why these sort of gatherings may occur. So they may be thinking something of this sort. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, that's not the reason. My reasoning is because Tamim al-Dari is a Christian, or used to be a Christian individual. And then he came and he accepted Islam and he pledged allegiance to me. وَحَدَّثَنِي حَدِيثًا وَافَقَ الَّذِي كُنْتُ أُحَدِّثُكُمْ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. And he told me of a narration, it was exactly the same as I used to tell you. He told me of a scenario, it was exactly the same as I used to tell you of Masih al-Dajjal, the Antichrist or the false Messiah. So the Prophet ﷺ is now going to narrate a hadith from a Sahabi. He says, حَدَّثَنِي أَنَّهُ رَكِبْ. And there's no other Sahabi, by the way. This is a fadila for him alone. There's no other Sahabi from which the Prophet ﷺ, from whom the Prophet ﷺ narrated a hadith. He says, حَدَّثَنِي, he told me, أَنَّهُ رَكِبَ فِي سَفِينَةٍ بَحْرِيَةٍ مَعَ ثَلَاثِينَ رَجُلًا مِنْ لَخْمٍ وَجْدَابٍ. He told me that he was with a group of people made up of comprising of about 30 people, and they were on a ship sailing. And as they were on the ship sailing, he says, فَلَعِبَ بِهِمُ الْمَوْجُ شَهْرًا فِي الْبَحَرِ. The waves of the ocean, they started to cause them to lose their course for an entire month. And then finally, after they lost their course for an entire month, they ended up pulling over at an island. This hadith is in Muslim. They ended up pulling over at an island. And they stayed there till around Maghrib time. And then after that, they got out. And when they got out, suddenly, فَلَقِيَتْهُمْ دَابَّةٌ أَهْلَبُ كَثِيرُ الشَّعْبُ لَيُغْرَاكُمْ قُبُلُهُ مِنْ دُبُرِ. That suddenly this hairy creature came before them, appeared before them, and they didn't know how to differentiate between the front part of the body of this creature and the back part of the body of this creature. So they said, suddenly they said, you know, this weird creature, we've never seen something like this. They spoke to the creature, they said, وَيْلَكْ مَا أَنْتْ. Woe to you, what exactly are you? We've never seen something like you. You know, they've seen a lot of affairs that they're not used to. So they said, وَيْلَكْ مَا أَنْتْ. Woe to you, what exactly are you? So this creature replies back. And it says, أَنَا الْجَسَّاسَ. I am Jassasa. I am this creature by the name of Al-Jassasa. So they reply back to the creature, وَمَا الْجَسَّاسَ. What is this Jassasa? Jassasa doesn't want to answer. Jassasa simply changed the topic and it says to them, أيها القوم انطلقوا إلى هذا الرجل في الدين فإنه إلى خبركم بالأشواق. Go and meet this individual in the monastery, for verily he is looking forward to meeting all of you. So this puts them even in more shock. They've been lost for 1 month, finally they, you know, get to this island, and then they meet this weird creature, and after they meet the weird creature, they end up now coming across this particular scenario where it's saying that go over here in this monastery, you'll find an individual that is longing to meet you. So they wanted to get away from Jassasa. They said that right away we ran, فَانْطَلَقْنَا سِرَاعًا. We got, tried to get away from this creature, and then when we got to this monastery, found a being that was well built. And it was shackled, or a human being, he was shackled to the ground. He was shackled, you know, in all ways that the person could be shackled. And then we started to now have a discussion with this particular human being. So they said to this human being as well, وَلَكَ, woe to you, who are you? You're shackled in this random island, somewhere in the world, we don't even know where we are. So he replied back to them, he says, قَدْ قَدِرْتُمْ عَلَى خَبَرِي. You know, you are the one who is able to get to me, so you tell me about yourself. So they said that we are people from the Arabs, and we ended up treading the sea, treading the ocean. And suddenly we found the ocean in a time where the ocean was at unrest. And then for an entire month, we were lost within the ocean. And then finally, after all of this, we came to this island, then we saw this creature, and they told them the whole story. We saw the creature, we asked the creature, who are you? The creature replied, I'm Jassasa. We said, what is Jassasa? It told us, go to you. So we came to you and we saw you. So this man, he says to them, أخبروني عن نخل بيسان. Tell me about the palm trees of Baysan. The palm trees of Baysan. Baysan area in Sham. Tell me about all of these events, by the way, he's going to ask about, are primarily in Sham. So tell me about the nakhl, the palm trees in Baysan. So they replied back to him, عن أي شأنها تستخبر. What particularly are you asking of? So he said, I'm asking you of whether this nakhl, whether this palm trees, these palm trees are still giving fruits. So they replied back to them, or they replied back to him, and they said, of course, they're still giving, you know, all of the trees, they're still giving fruit, and we use the fruit, and it's all there. So he said that, yes, but there will be a time, and it will be very soon. أَمَا إِنَّهُ يُوشِكْ أَلَّا تُثْمِرْ. Soon enough, these plants will no longer give you any more dates. These palm trees will no longer give you any more dates. Then he said, tell me of the Sea of Galilee, Buhira al-Tabariya. Tell me of Tiberias. What do you know about that? So again, they replied back to him, and they said, عَنْ أَيْهِ شَأْنِهَا تَسْتَخْوِرْ. What particularly do you ask of? He said, I ask you of the water therein. Is there water? So they replied back, yes, there is water, and there is plenty of that water. So this individual then said to them, there will be a time very soon that the Sea of Galilee, Buhayra al-Tabariya, will start to decrease in water. Now of course, Buhayra al-Tabariya, today in modern day, it's in the occupied territories, probably of either Syria or part of Palestine. But anyways, it's in the occupied territories. So he said that, he replied back to them, that this Buhayra al-Tabariya, you will notice that soon enough the water will start to decrease. And if we look at modern day, the Sea of Galilee, the water is actually starting to decrease. In fact, the shoreline has decreased about 5 to 6 meters from the original shoreline just within the recent years. So the Sea of Galilee, or the Tiberias Lake, it's decreasing really, really fast, and that's what he was asking about. So he's going to get to a point when he says all of these prophecies that he's making. Then he says, tell me about Ain Zughab. Tell me about the spring of Zughab. So they said to him the same thing. What do you ask of, particularly about the spring of Zughab? He replied back, I'm asking you of the water. And are the people still using this water to grow vegetation, crops, when they're farming? Are they still using this water? So they replied back to him and they said, yes, of course. The water is plenty and people are still using it for vegetation. People are still using it for farming. So then he said, last but not least, أخبروني عن نبي الأميين. Tell me about the prophet of the unlettered people. They replied back to him and they said, قَدْ خَرَجَ مِن مَكَّةَ وَدَخَلَ يَثْرِبْ. He ended up leaving Mecca and he went to وَنَزَلَ يَثْرِبْ. He ended up going to Medina. Yathrib, another name for Medina, Qayba, another name for Medina. Both important names, they will be both used in this hadith. So, he said to them, asked them further, inquired about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقَاتَلَهُ الْعَرَبُ. Have the Arabs come to fight him yet? قُلْنَا نَعْمُ. We replied back, of course they fought him. What did he do with them? They replied that قَدْ ظَهَرَ عَلَى مَنْ يَدِيهِ مِنَ الْعَرَبُ وَأَطَاعُهُ. He ended up becoming the most prominent figure and leader, political leader, amongst all of the Arabs that are around him, and all of them are now in obedience to him. They all follow him. They have to. So he replied back to them, and he said, أَمَا إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَّهُمْ أَن يُطِيعُوا. Indeed, it is better for them to follow this messenger. And then he says, finally, وَإِنِّي مُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنِّي, and I am going to tell you now of me. Who am I? He says, أَنَا إِنِّي أَنَا الْمَسِيحُ الدَّجَّالِ. I am the Messiah, the false Messiah. Of course, he doesn't call himself that, but I didn't want to stop just at Messiah. So, he says, and soon enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me permission. وَإِنِّي أُوشَكْ أَنْ يُوَدَنَا لِي بِالْخُرُوجِ فَأَخُرُجِ. Soon enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me permission to leave, and I will then leave. And I will go from one place to another until I end up going to every single land that is on this planet, غَيْرَ مَكَّةَ وَطَيْبَةَ. With the exception of Mecca and Tayyiba, for verily فَهُمَا مُحَرَّمَتَانِ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these two places impermissible for me to enter. So he will go to all of these places, and he says, every single time I try to enter one of them, an angel will come to me with a sword, extending that sword, and I will not be able to combat that angel, and I'll have to retreat, or I'll have to move back. He won't let me enter. And he said, every single door from amongst the doors of these places will have an angel waiting for me, and they will not allow me to enter. The Prophet ﷺ had a stick with him as he was on the minbar, and he started hitting the minbar slightly, pointing towards the ground, and he said, هَذِهِ طَيْبَةٌ هَذِهِ طَيْبَةٌ هَذِهِ طَيْبَةٌ. This right here is طَيْبَةٌ, this right here is طَيْبَةٌ, this right here is طَيْبَةٌ. So that people don't get confused, because he said, two places I won't get to go, Mecca and what? Taiba. He didn't refer to it as Medina or Yathrib. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to make sure everybody understood that this is Taiba, this right here is Taiba, and this is where the hadith almost finishes. But the Prophet ﷺ took that opportunity to express his gratitude and his happiness, and he said, did I not tell you of all of this? The people said, yes. And then he said, I was really shocked at the fact that Tamim ended up telling me the exact same thing about him and about Medina and Mecca. Indeed, he is in the sea of Asham. Indeed, he is in the sea of Yemen. Indeed, he is in different directions. The Prophet pointed, meaning basically we're not entirely sure, but he is definitely within the Middle East or around that region. This is something that we have information of, because in certain narrations we find Khorasan. In other narrations we find that he is between Iraq and Ash-Sham, and in other narrations we find different, you know, narrations. So the point is that they generally said he's in that locality. So considering that, what some people have started to say, or some people have started to suggest even, that he may be in the Bermuda Triangle, is definitely not the right locality for this particular individual. So, who exactly is Ad-Dajjal? Who exactly is Ad-Dajjal? Ad-Dajjal is a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow for extra normal or paranormal events to occur on the hands of this individual as a fitna, the wisdom of which is known best to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this individual is known as Al-Masih. And that's why sometimes they have his name as the false Messiah. He's known as Al-Masih. And the reason why he's known as Al-Masih is because his right eye is, the pupil of the right eye is gone entirely white, so he can't see from it. But that doesn't mean that there's no pupil there. Some of the narrations, they say that it's the right eye, others say that it's the left eye, but nonetheless, you know, according to some of the scholars, the right eye is probably the better opinion. But nonetheless, it doesn't really hurt us whether it's this eye or that eye. We know one of the two eyes is like that. And we'll get to also how his other eye is in a moment. And he's also known as Ad-Dajjal. Ad-Dajjal. This is a very, very popular name of Ad-Dajjal. Why? Because he quotes the truth. He sort of makes the truth and quotes it, he quotes the falsehood with information and makes it seem like it's the truth. So he confuses people in that regard, and that's what the word ad-dajjal means. It's like when you have something that's gold-plated, it doesn't actually seem like it's not gold, but it isn't gold. So it seems like it's gold, but it isn't. This individual will give facts, this individual will say things, and he will have proofs to witness for him, which will make it seem like what he's saying is true, but deep down inside, and the reality of the affair is that all of it will be a lie. And people that have knowledge will be able to recognize and pinpoint this lie. And for that very reason, he's also known as Al-Kadhdhab. Same reason. He's a liar, so he's known as the liar. One of the greatest of the fitan of this particular individual is going to be the fact that he will proclaim that he is the Lord of the universe. And Allah's Prophet ﷺ, he told us that فَإِذَا أُلْبِسَ عَلَيْكُمْ, if you're confused about the matter, whether he is really your Lord or not, he said, then remember the fact that he is one-eyed. As for your Lord, he is not one-eyed. وَأَنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَرَوْا رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا, and you will never end up seeing your Lord until you die. So this also shuns away the claim of some people, whoever they may be, that they have seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Prophet ﷺ said, you will not see Allah until you die. Some of the characteristics or some of the defining features of this individual is, again, as I said, he's one-eyed. And this particular characteristic, Allah's Prophet ﷺ, he almost always mentioned ad-dajjal along with. So this is something you have to memorize, that he is one-eyed. If you ever see a creature of such sort, or a human being of such sort, with all the other things that the Prophet ﷺ will also mention, and I'll elaborate on them. If you ever see a creature that has the one eye, then this may be in reference to a Dajjal. This may be that Dajjal. So this is a defining feature. The Prophet ﷺ, almost every single time he made mention of Dajjal, he brought the awa as well. The one-eyed Dajjal. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنِّي لَأُنذِرُكُمُهُ وَمَا مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ الدَّجَّالِ وَلَكِنِّي سَأَقُولُ لَكُمْ فِيهِ قَوْلًا لَمْ يَقُلْهُ نَبِيٌّ لِقَوْمِهِ, I am warning you of this Dajjal, and there has never been a prophet, even Nuh alayhi salam, there has never been a prophet that hasn't warned his people of a Dajjal, but I will tell you something specific about him that other people, other messengers didn't tell their people, and that is the fact that he is one-eyed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not one-eyed. So remember we said that one-eyed feature, that means that the pupil has gone white, and that particular thing is in the right eye. And this right eye has another problem to it as well. This right eye, along with the fact that it has gone white, this area is called the muq, right here. And when meat grows, or a growth occurs on this area, sometimes for certain people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve us, it may end up growing right onto the eye. So a portion of the eye, despite the fact that it is white, it's also covered with this sort of nasty looking growth on the eye. Part of the skin of the face. So this is another thing that needs to be noted. As the Prophet ﷺ said, عَلَيْهَا غَفَرَةٌ غَلِيظًا, upon that eye is a growth from the face right onto the eye. So how will a Dajjal come to an end? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala, narrating this hadith, he says that Dajjal will come close to Medina. Remember, he'll go everywhere except Mecca and Medina. But he will be able to get to the outskirts of Medina, that he will do. And in fact, he will even get so close to the outskirts of Medina that he will even be able to peek into Medina. He will have his army with him, and he will say to them, and this is amongst the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why I said, some of these things are paranormal for us right now, but they may become normal in the future. He looked at Medina, and he said, look over here, هذا القصر الأبيض, look at this white palace, Masjid Ahmad. This is the Masjid of Ahmad alayhi salam. as in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the names of the Prophet is Ahmed. So he looked at this, the Prophet is describing him, he will look at the masjid and he will say, look at this white palace, this is the masjid of Ahmed. And that white palace wasn't there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The structure of the masjid was very rudimentary, basic structure. But now if you look at the masjid, especially from above, on top, you'll find that the structure of the masjid is like it's a palace, entirely like it's a palace. So this is a prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming true. So we're going back to the point that we emphasized in the earlier lecture about the fact that these events are sometimes beyond our imagination and understanding, but they will eventually go and become that way, and they will go in that direction just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described them to be. So a man will come to the Dajjal, believer. And when he goes towards the Dajjal, he will find a lot of the army of the Dajjal, they will say to him, أَيْنَ تَعْمِدْ? Where are you going to? His bodyguards. So he will say, أَعْمِدُ إِلَىٰ هَذَا الَّذِي قَدْ خَرَجْ. I am going to this person who has come out and proclaimed that he is the Lord of the universe. So he said, they said to him, do you not believe in our Lord? أَوَمَا تُؤْمِنُ بِرَبِّنَا? Look at this جَهَالَة, look at this ignorance, look at what they're going through. They're actually believing him to be the Lord of the universe. So they're literally saying that, do you not believe in our the Lord of our universe? أَوَمَا تُؤْمِنُ بِرَبِّنَا? So he will say to them a very diplomatic answer, because of course he doesn't want to get killed as well. But at the same time he wants to make his point and he wants to go and see this Dajjal. So he says, لَيْسَ بِرَبِّنَا خَفَى. Our Lord is not unclear, He's very clear. There is no ambiguity in our Lord. So they understood from that he doesn't actually believe at Dajjal to be the Lord of the universe. So all of them now start to discuss what to do with this man. Some say, let's kill him. And then the rest of them say, no, let's not kill him, because our Lord, quote-unquote, Ad-Dajjal, our Lord had, or rather, they're saying that our Lord, quote-unquote, their Lord, who is the Dajjal, has told us not to kill anybody until we consult him. So they end up going now to Ad-Dajjal and they ask him and they take him to Ad-Dajjal. So when Ad-Dajjal is before this young man who is a believer, a believing slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true believer, he is able to recognize, because he knew the sunnah of Rasulullah, he knew these ahadith that we're discussing today and more. He saw Ad-Dajjal, he will say, Ya ayyuhan nas, right away he will be brave enough to say, O people, start yelling at the top of his lungs, هذا الدجال الذي ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is that Dajjal about which Allah's Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had made mention. So Dajjal will now ask for this particular young man to be chained down and put to the ground, and his body, upper body, will become flattened because they will start to beat him repeatedly. He will command them to do that. And then he will go close to him and he said, أَوَمَا تُؤْمِنُ بِي? Do you not believe in me? Dajjal will go to this man now. He said, أَنْتَ الْمَسِيحُ الْكَذَّابِ. You, O Dajjal, you are al-Masih al-Kadhab. You are the Messiah, the false one, the one that lies. And then Dajjal will command for a sword to come. The Dajjal will command for a minshar, for a saw to come, and this person will then be cut into two pieces, and in certain narration he'll be cut so fast into two pieces that the distance between the two pieces after the cut will be like the distance that is between the individual when he takes a bow and throws it, when he takes an arrow and throws it through a bow. The distance that, as far as it can get, this will be the distance between the two pieces of this person's body, because they will be cut so fast. So they will fly into two directions, his body. And then a Dajjal will walk through, as in, now the one piece is over here, the other piece is here. The Dajjal will walk through the body, and then he will say, قُمْ, stand up. So the body will stand right back up, come back together, and then he will say, do you believe in me now? He said, مَزْدَدْتُ فِيكَ إِلَّا بَصِيرَةً. I have not ever been more certain of the fact that you are the Dajjal. That the Prophet ﷺ had told us of. Because he knew the story, he knew this was going to occur, so when it occurred to him, he recognized that he is that individual that the Prophet ﷺ was talking about. And then he will turn to the people, and he will say, O people, إِنَّهُ لَا يَفْعَلُ بَعْدِهِ بِأَحَدٍ. He will not be able to do anything with anyone after me. And then the Dajjal will take him, and he will try now to cut his throat off. He will try to kill him, because now this person is making him look bad, so he wants to kill him. And this will be the downfall of the message of a Dajjal. This will be the downfall of the fitna, rather, of a Dajjal. He will try to kill him, he will try to slaughter him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn the neck of this man into brass, so no longer would the Dajjal be actually able to even slaughter the neck of this individual. Whereas one day, just a few moments ago, he was capable of bringing people, or so it would appear, back to life. But now this person won't even be able to slaughter, and this is why the boy said that from now onwards, the Dajjal will not be able to do anything to anybody. And then the Dajjal, out of frustration, he will take this individual and throw this individual into his fire. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَإِنَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He's only been thrown into paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ continued, and every single time I read this statement, I think about what's going on in the mind of this individual. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ شَهَادَةً عَنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That is the greatest of human beings that has ever gained martyrdom in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this boy that knows the hadith, he's feeling that, he knows for a fact that Allah's Prophet ﷺ had given him that glad tiding that he will be the greatest of people in martyrdom and the Rabbil Alameen, in the near the Lord, based on the understanding of the Lord of the universe, based on the standards set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will the Dajjal now come to an end? The Dajjal's message is now decreasing. Remember, the Dajjal will live for 40 days on this land. Okay? After his release. يَوْمٌ كَسَنَا, the Prophet ﷺ said, one day will be like a year. وَيَوْمٌ كَشَهْرٍ وَيَوْمٌ كَجُمُعَةٍ وَسَعِيُ أَيَّامِهِ كَأَيَّامِكُمْ. His one day will be like what? Like in here. And the second day will be like a month. And then the third day will be like a week. And the rest of his days will be like the rest of your days. Just regular, ordinary days. You'll notice that the paranormal occurrences within this lifetime of a Dajjal are decreasing. So it went from 1 year, then it went down to 1 month, then it went down to 1 week, and now it's going down, and it's back to normal in terms of the days. Similarly, he was able to do this, that, the other. He wasn't even able to now cut the throat of an individual. So all of these are signs of the fact that he is now coming to a demise, he's coming to an end. And how will this end occur of a Dajjal? Dajjal will, in the midst of all of this, Al-Mahdi is around, and he is leading the Muslims, and the Muslims are now by an area in Dimashq, in the eastern part of Dimashq. And they're praying Salah. And as they're praying Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Isa alayhi salam, the real Messiah, Al-Masih ibn Maryam, the real Messiah. And this Messiah, Isa alayhi salam, will now descend عند المنارة البيضاء by the white minaret. Now this white minaret, some people say it's the Jami' al-Umawi, but it's not actually the Jami' al-Umawi. But it's another area in Dimashq as well that has a minaret, but there's no masjid attached to it. There's like marketplace and things of that sort. But some other people say, no, it's Al-Jami' al-Umawi. In either case, he will come down by a white minaret. And people will be just about ready to pray. And Isa alayhi salam will have his arms on the wings of angels. When he would put his face down, this face will drop drops of water. Because it's as if he's just come out of a shower. Okay? And then when he would raise his face, Then there would be trickles of water going down as well. It's as if pearls are going down his face. This is how the Prophet ﷺ describes it. And then the Prophet ﷺ will say, at that moment, not a single person who disbelieved will be able to remain, because the Isa alayhi salam's fragrance, particularly the scent of his breath, wherever it could extend, all those people who are disbelieving in him and the message of Muhammad and everything, all of these occurrences, will now just come to an end. They will die, naturally. Just because of the breath of Isa alayhi salam. And finally, Isa alayhi salam will descend and he will be amongst this congregation. They will ask him, go ahead and lead prayer. But he will back off and he won't lead prayer. And Al-Mahdi will go and lead this particular prayer. And this is another blessing to this ummah, that a human being who is not a prophet will be leading a prophet in prayer. And the reason for that is because of the fact that in the heart of this particular human being is the book of Allah, Quran, whereas in the heart of Isa alayhi salam is Al-Injeel, and this is the virtue of the Quran over other books. Isa alayhi salam, after the prayer, will follow now this individual, and he will walk towards his direction. And of course the person is now trying, the Dajjal is now trying his best to get away, but Isa alayhi salam will catch him in an area called Bab Ulud, which is now again in the occupied territories. They say there is some sort of Israeli military base or something like that over there now at Bab Ulud, that area particularly. Allahu alam, I'm not a geographer, I don't actually know where exactly it is, but that's what I found in some works. So Bab Ulud, that's where Isa alayhi salam will find him. And Isa alayhi salam, when this individual sees Isa alayhi salam, he will start to melt. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, ذَابَكَ مَا يَذُوبٌ مِلْحُ فِي الْمَا. This person will start to melt and dissolve, just as if you were to put salt into water, you'll see it dissolving. So this individual will start to dissolve, but Isa alayhi salam will not let him go. Remember, people and humanity, for the past year and so, they have seen a lot of events that are supernatural, paranormal, that are not normal. So they are now concerned. It's possible that they're thinking in their minds that he's melting now, but maybe this is a trick to get away. Right? Because they've seen all these awkward events. So Isa alayhi salam, to prove to everybody and put everybody at peace that this person is now no longer going to be, he will take his spear and follow Ad-Dajjal, the melting Ad-Dajjal, dissolving Ad-Dajjal, and stab Ad-Dajjal until his spear would be bloody, and then people will come to rest and there will no longer be the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. Then after will come another fitna, which is also a very, very great fitna. To protect yourself from the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. I'm going to keep it very brief, because our plan wasn't to go after Isha, but nonetheless, I'll keep it brief. Very, very brief. And I'm going to skip out the hadith, because the point over here is just to know how to protect yourself. Okay? All of this, I assure you, that I've taken from a hadith, and nothing I'm making up. So, number one, learn and learn and learn some more, particularly when it comes to these events. Learn so you're able to insulate yourself with this knowledge. And that individual, the young man who was protected from the fitna of Ad-Dajjal, even after he was slaughtered, he recognized that he was going to be the martyr that's the best martyr that will ever be, based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person had knowledge, and for that reason he was able to protect himself from the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. So what you have to do is you have to seek knowledge of Ad-Dajjal, and above and beyond that, you have to seek knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, His names, His attributes specifically. Why? Because if you recognize the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you understand them well, then you understand who Allah is. Whoever tries to proclaim to be Lord other than Allah Azza wa Jal, right away you know that it's not possible, because of 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever you know about the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, go to the Haramain. If you're in that time, find your way to the Haramain. Find your way to Mecca and find your way to Medina. The best and safest two places to be at that time. Guarded by angels, you will be protected from the fitna of the Dajjal. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there is not one country except إِلَّا يَطَعُهُ الدَّجَّالِ إِلَّا مَكَّةَ وَالْمَدِينَةِ. There is not one country, one area except Dajjal will go to it, except Makkah and Medina. And in some other narrations, there's also Jabal al-Tur and Bayt al-Maqdis. But these two are the primary two places where you can seek shelter. Also, try your best to avoid meeting a Dajjal. So when you see a Dajjal, don't try to be that brave young man who went and did that. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given some sort of intuition to know that he is going to be that young man. Maybe he didn't know this hadith from which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended us to stay away, but he knew the other hadith. Whatever the case may be, stay far away from ad-Dajjal, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had recommended this, to stay far away from ad-Dajjal. فَلْيَنْعَنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ بِالدَّجَّالِ. Not even seeing ad-Dajjal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you hear of Dajjal, فَلْيَنْعَنْ. Stay away from him. Because فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَأْتِيهِ وَهُوَ يَحْسِبُ أَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ فَيَتَّبِعُهُ مِمَّا يَبْعَثُ فِيهِ مِنَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. A believer will come, a person who will think he's a true believer, will come before a Dajjal thinking that he's a true believer, but then he will end up following a Dajjal because of all of the different doubts that the Dajjal may end up raising in the mind of this particular individual. So stay far, far away, wherever you can go, but not in the way of a Dajjal. Also, another thing to do is to memorize the first few ayat from Surah Al-Kahf, the first 10 ayat particularly. Memorize them, read them, recite them, and remember we said whoever, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَمَنِ ابْتُلِيَ بِنَارِهِ, whoever gets tested with this fire, فَلْيَقْرَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَاتِحَ Surah Al-Kahf, then let him read upon him the first few ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that fire بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. He will make it coolness and peace for the individual. So you memorize these particular ayat, repeat them on a regular, even in your salah. So you have them memorized at that particular time, you remember them really well, just as you would remember your fatiha. These are the ayat that will keep you protected. Also, on a regular basis during those times. Right now we read it on a Jumu'ah to Jumu'ah. On a regular basis, go and read Surah Al-Kahf. On a regular basis. Because the Prophet ﷺ also recommended for this to happen. The Prophet said, if a person meets him after he has read Surah Al-Kahf, then Dajjal will not be able to do anything with this particular individual. Last but not least, constantly at the end of your salawat, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal. This is in that dua in which the Prophet ﷺ had taught us. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adab al-nar, وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ. There's different variations of this dua. Memorize it, have this particular portion of the dua in there, and continuously make it regularly and also particularly in every single salah towards the end of your prayer. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all fitn. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fitnat al-Masih al-Dajjal. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on belief in this life and resurrect us as believers on the Day of Judgment. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.